Since this is Memorial Day weekend, and I trust that you will take some time on Monday at least, if not in any other way, but just to pray and thank the Lord for our nation, for those who have helped to keep it as good as it is. It has slipped, I believe, from some of its goodness, and we are allowing far too much of sin to be rampant in our land. That's why we need to stand on the promises that God's given to us and take a stand and be the witnesses that we are to be in our society, in our circles, in our communities. But in Acts chapter 5, I'm going to be looking at building a memorial with our life, because we see that going on here with the apostles as they have experienced some extenuating circumstances once again, as they are there in that first century trying to live for the Lord, and as they are trying to present the gospel in various places. But in Acts chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading at verse 29. This is giving to us the account of a couple of the disciples, the apostles, after they had been preaching in the temple area. It started way back in chapter 4 of the preaching there and healing a man that had been lame, and then all that took place. There was thousands that were saved. There was an arrest that was a couple of arrests. They were spent the night in the jail because the religious officials didn't like what they were doing. And so now they've been brought before the Sanhedrin, and they have been told some of the things. The account was explained. Didn't really matter to the Sanhedrin. They were still upset. But beginning in verse 29, we see Peter's response. And so we're going to read verse 29 through the end of the chapter. So in verse 29, the book of Acts says that Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hung on a tree. It is him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him." When the Sanhedrin heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee, named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, who was had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto the Sanhedrin, "You men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days there rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who, he was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to nothing. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and he also drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to nothing. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God." And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. And the disciples departed unto the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for Jesus' name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. They were building a memorial. You know, you've probably visited different memorials around our country, maybe even right here in our own county, in the city. I think our city has a beautiful memorial right over here in the cemetery of all the armed services. A very nice setting there, very nicely done, and representing each of our armed services. And it's a memorial to everyone who has served. It's a memorial to everyone who has served and died. But as you stand there at any of the memorials, whether it's in our county, our state, the national memorials, you're reminded about whoever that memorial is about their lives. Just a few days ago, we were talking with someone about Mount Rushmore and how after one of our mission trips out there to South Dakota with the AMLs, we took one of those days and we took that 72-passenger bus and we went on over to Mount Rushmore. It was further than we thought, and so it was quite a trip to get on over there and see that. But as we stood there at the railing looking across the wilderness up to the mountain, and for some people it was a little disappointing that it wasn't bigger than what they thought, but it was still quite the sight. And you are there and you're remembering the presidents for which it has stood, those faces that are engraved there on the rock. Thinking also about some of the memorials in Washington, D.C. and going into the Lincoln Memorial, the Jefferson Memorial, and seeing all the inscriptions that are on the walls inside these memorials. And you're reminded about the people that are represented there. This weekend, there will be much that is done there in Arlington National Cemetery. And thinking about the Marine Memorial of Iwo Jima and the men that were involved in that battle. You know, we're reminded about whoever it is that the memorial stands for. Your life needs to be a memorial, a living memorial, unto Jesus Christ. So that as people see us, they are seeing Christ and they're thinking of Him. And they're being reminded of what the Scriptures say about Christ. And that's why, as it says here, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. They were building a memorial for Him. As we look at Gamaliel here, he seems to be a fellow. He's a Pharisee. He's an unbeliever, but he seems to have some doubts. He seems to think, well, maybe some of this is true that these fellows are saying. But he can't get all the way to that point of faith and accept Christ as his personal Savior. Now, an earlier Pharisee, teacher of the law, named Nicodemus, had been able to understand that, and his heart received Christ by faith. As we realize, people have all their different opinions about Christ. And it is through faith, then, that we see him, that we understand him, that when we call upon the Lord Jesus Christ by faith to save us, then his Holy Spirit, as the apostle said, his Holy Spirit comes. And he witnesses to us. And his Spirit witnesses to our spirit. And we become convinced of the truth of these Scriptures. Even as I was talking with a casual acquaintance yesterday after the Rochelle High School graduation, hundreds of people were out there in behind the stands, and I had found out that here was somebody, I knew their parents, and so I wanted to meet the son, who was, probably in his 40s. And so I was speaking to him, and he was a Christian, a believer, and I said, "How your dad has helped us with Farmtastic several years," and I said, "I've been up there in the hay barn there at your dad's place, where you probably spent a lot of time also, as we would get bales of straw and various, and sometimes we borrowed some equipment there." And we were talking about, then it moved into just talking a little bit about our world and our society. And he said how he just was so wishing that our society would believe the Word of God and the creation account that God has written for us here in the book of Genesis. You know, as we realize, God's given to us the Word. He's given to us the promises on which to stand. He's given to us the message to proclaim and not back down from it. And give it fully as it is in the Scriptures. And these disciples were doing that. They were testifying to this Sanhedrin, this religious body. These were all religious individuals, the Pharisees, the scribes. And so Gamaliel gave some advice. It seems like he said, "Well, you know, guys, it might be like this and it might be like this. If it's of men, it's going to fall apart. If it's of God, you're not going to win against it." And ultimately, God's will is going to be done in our nation, in our world, and in your life. But how much better it is that we get to that point where we're following His will as soon as possible. 2 weeks ago, I presented two messages about the hindering of Satan in the lives of Christians. And he certainly does all that he can to hinder the work of Christ in our lives and then our lives as we might minister to others. Also gave a message that day about how the Christian is supposed to protect himself from those attacks of Satan. And even as Satan may attack and may hinder and may influence a believer, he can never possess that believer because, as the disciples said, God's given to us the Holy Spirit. And so there's not room for Satan too. The Holy Spirit possesses us. We are filled with the Spirit. Sometimes we don't let the filling of that Spirit show forth, but we are filled with the Holy Spirit upon that moment of faith and salvation. I reminded how Satan's opposed to everything that God does. Satan is opposed to everything that is godly and holy. So if you miss those messages, whether you're sitting here or whether you're watching on the live stream, I invite you to go back onto our church website and you'll be able to see those messages in the video form there again, or you'll also be able to listen to them in the audio form. Both forms are there. So you can go back to it. But today is a follow-up then about how Satan opposes God. I want to look at this passage of Scripture that brings out an interesting phrase that was spoken by an unbelieving religious man. That man is Gamaliel. As we read there, the passage here in Acts 5, and we heard his wise advice, and it was certainly that day to the benefit of those apostles. But he gave a couple of examples of false leaders who had died and how their movements collapsed. And we've probably could begin to count several of them up on our fingers too, of religious leaders that we've heard about, whether in our country or in other lands, and they died and the whole movement just kind of fell apart. But his ironic statement to the fellow Pharisees was that if this movement, of which these apostles were preaching, if it was really of God, and yet he wasn't there yet himself, but he says, if it was of God, then you're not going to stop it. In fact, he said they'd be finding themselves fighting against God. And that would put them on the same team as Satan. And none of them wanted to be on that team. And I hope none of you want to be on that team either. So the Sanhedrin did the only thing they could. They beat them. And then they commanded them to speak no more in the name of Jesus, which they did not do. But what I want us to focus on today is the response of these disciples and how they became then that memorial to the message and to the name of Jesus Christ. So before we get to that part, though, I want to consider Gamaliel's words. So the first thing I look at is, are you fighting against God? He challenged his fellow Pharisees and Sanhedrin members, look, if you continue to oppose these fellows here, you may find yourselves fighting against God. Well, what about us? Are we fighting against God? And some would say, well, of course not. I'm not fighting against God. I'm in church. I'm a Christian. Oh, but I think we find some Christians that have been fighting against God. And we find them here in the Scriptures. In Matthew chapter 16, the Lord is with his disciples up in the very far northern part of Israel, on up above the Sea of Galilee. He's in Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi was a place of great idol worship. And while he was up there, he asked his disciples in Matthew 16, who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, the apostles answered, saying, well, some say you're John the Baptist, raised from the dead. You're Elijah. Some say you're that prophet. Okay. Well, who do you guys say that I am? And you remember what Peter answered? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You got it right, Peter. And you got it right because my Father has revealed that to you. And so as Peter is there and he says, you're the Son of the living God. Just a few moments later, the Lord said, and we're going to go to Jerusalem. We're going to make our way down there. It's going to take about 6 months to get there because we're going to stop off doing some preaching and ministry along the way. But when we get to Jerusalem, evil and wicked men are going to take the Son of Man. They're going to crucify him. They're going to kill him and bury him. But on the third day, he's going to rise again. And Peter took the Lord. He took him. I can just see this picture. He took a hand on each of his shoulders and said, "Lord, no!" Who was fighting against God now? Peter. A believer was now fighting against the will of God. That Christ said, "I've got to go to the cross." And the cross is so critically important that the blood would be shed, the sacrifice would be made to pay for our sins. And as this table says, we can keep that memorial going by remembering what he has done. Though he didn't know it, Peter at that time was arguing against God and against God's plan. Have you ever argued against God's plan for your life? Probably have. And so you found yourself not on God's team, but you found yourself working for somebody else. And so as we realize the unsaved world, yes, it fights against God and against God's plan, we see believers sometimes do too, out of ignorance perhaps. 1 Samuel 15, King Saul was told to go destroy the Amalekites because they had become so wicked as an entire culture, and they had opposed God's people as they wandered away from Egypt and finally made it to the promised land. The Amalekites gave them so much trouble and so much deception and influence there in their land. And so finally Saul was told by Samuel, and God told Samuel, go and destroy the Amalekites. Don't bring anything back. And Saul comes back with a lot of the animals, some of the finest animals that they'd had. And when Samuel met him outside the city and said, what's the meaning of all this bleating of these animals? And Saul said, "Oh, well, we have brought back," the people actually wanted to bring back the finest of the animals to sacrifice to your God. Now, Saul was supposed to have been a believer. And he's saying that we're going to do this against God's will. So he too found himself on the wrong side. James 4:17 says, "Therefore to him that knows to do right, to do good, and does it not, to him it is sin." And that's certainly not on God's team if you are sinning. So you see, Christians can be involved in this. The Apostle John wrote in his third little epistle, 3 John, he talks about Diotrephes, who stood opposed to God's will there in that church in which he was working and located. So believers can be opposed to God. Every time that you know you're supposed to take some kind of action and you don't do it, you're fighting against God. Don't be found on Satan's side by turning Christian brethren against one another, or causing a church split, or by destroying another Christian's testimony, or by ruining your own testimony. Oh, beware. You may actually be working with Satan in opposition to God's will. So are you building a memorial to Christ? The apostles rejoiced that they were counted worthy after they had departed there from the presence of the Sanhedrin. They said, "Wow, they really think that we're living for God." So secondly, we need to build a memorial, even if you're having to suffer for his name. You know, just because we might be in a time of life that we are suffering something, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's financial, we can still be building a memorial for Jesus Christ. Our circumstances really don't matter about where our happiness and where our faith is, but I know it does impact us a lot anyway. Our happiness is in Christ, in the salvation that we have, in the love that we know he has for us, and our faith should be in the same place. But as we realize that they were suffering, these apostles, they pointed to the memorial of Jesus' accomplishment, the cross. They were talking to the Sanhedrin about that. They said, "Now you guys crucified him, but now he's seated at the right hand of the Father." And they pointed then to how the Father has exalted him. They pointed to the work of the Holy Spirit. These are the memorial of what was taught and what was proclaimed there in that first century, and it's what Christians have been saying ever since. So let your life always be pointing to Jesus Christ, to those things that he's accomplished. Even if you're suffering, you can still point to Christ. If you're suffering physically and you're in a hospital, or you've got the nurses coming to your house for rehab or whatever, you can have a testimony for Christ when you're around all those people, even though you're suffering. If you're suffering in some emotions, you can trust God's word about what needs to be done. You can still trust God. So let your suffering be a new way then to point to the Savior. We need to also build a memorial for Christ in spreading his name, not just in suffering for his name, but in spreading his name. In verse 42, it says, that daily in the temple, so out there right in the very public, and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Have you been told by the boss or by government or somebody, you cannot witness, you cannot do certain things? We've got things that are going on that way in our nation. But they kept talking about Christ. And you can keep talking about Christ. You may have to use some real wisdom about how to do it, but you need to keep talking about Christ. They stayed committed to the task of evangelism as they were doing it in the houses and in the temple. You know, I think a lot of conservative, fundamental Christians have given up on evangelism today. They say it's too hard. Nobody wants to listen. I can't do it. Well, why not? Is God now slacked off? Is his arm shortened that he cannot save? Is this not the same God that was yesterday and is going to be forever? You see, we've bought into some of Satan's deceptions and lies and saying people can't get saved today. And it's really quiet here, because we still have a commission. Even though Easter's come and gone, we still have a work to be doing every week. Watering in the life of someone, trying to pick the fruit in some other's lives that are ready. So we stand by his name and we spread his name. They were witnesses wherever they went. So keep yourself prepared to be a witness. Carry a gospel tract. We may not have the table out there in the middle of the lobby anymore to make you have to bump into it and then say, oh, I guess I ought to take something. They're on the rack, on the wall. But take one of those gospel tracts, or take a few of them. Take them to your home. Put them there next to wherever you keep your car keys, so that every time you grab your keys, take one tract. Just take one. Take a tract with you and determine, before I come back and put those keys down, I will have given this tract to someone somewhere. That's right. Amen. Keep spreading his name. That's why we have such a societal problem today. Because Christians have clammed up and we are not taking our stand and trying to recover our communities. And so we have the violence that is going on. I don't even like to listen to the local news coming out of Rockford every night, the television news, because all they're going to talk about are the shootings, the murders, and the robberies, and everything else, it seems like. That would be the first 10 to 12 minutes of the broadcast. We need to take back what Satan has deceived us in telling us we can't. Maybe even one of those invitation to listen and to watch cards that are out there. You may not even know what I'm talking about. We introduced those months ago. That you can hand that card to someone, and if you want to, you can put a particular date on the card of a message that you heard from this pulpit, whether it was me or somebody else. But it spoke to you in your heart, or you said while you sat there, boy, I wish so-and-so could hear this. They can. You take one of those cards and you give it to them, because on that card, it shows to them where they can go to the website. And they can listen to it by audio, or they can go and listen to it on the videos. Hand that to them. Fill those things. Be doing something. Break your old habits of, I can't, I don't. These men, even when they were threatened, they kept daily in the temple and in every house, teaching and preaching about Christ. So build a memorial for Christ in spreading his name. Build a memorial by standing for his name. In Ephesians 6:13, it tells us, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand or withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Even though you may get bowled over, get back up and stand. Now use wisdom. Use common sense. Use discernment. Use compassion for this lost world. Let your life be one that makes people think of the Lord. That when they think of you, that's what they think a Christian should be. A person of faith. A person who's understanding. A person of compassion. A person who's reasonable. A person who's godly. The conversations ought to just naturally flow. It shouldn't be that when they see you coming, they're trying to duck off somewhere else because I don't want to listen to them again. If that's what they're thinking, you've got it wrong. You don't understand it. Those five things I just said, it doesn't compute with you. If they're trying to duck off somewhere else, they run out the back door. They go down a different aisle, or they turn to a different street. I don't want to go down there. They might be outside, and they'll be waving me in to talk to me again about God. Then you haven't accomplished it. You've done it wrong. They need to say, well, that person really does love their Lord, and they sure have talked to me a lot. But when we are pushy, when we are edgy with our witness, when we are stubborn, I'm going to witness to them anyway. Yeah, you are witnessing. God's not, but you are. When you're so self-centered about the way you need to witness to them, you're going to push them away, and they won't listen to anybody. Stand for his name, but don't make people run away. Lastly, build a memorial by letting your life be that living memorial. Romans 12:1 tells us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It is our reasonable service. And then the second verse goes on to say, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let your life be a living memorial. And the living memorial is all about what's on the inside. The real you in Christ. So be godly. Be distinctly Christian. And that means in how you talk, the manner of your speech, what you talk about, how you dress, what you do, what happens when things go wrong. Be distinctly Christian. Set standards in your life that will help you to have a life that is pleasing to our Savior. Just because the world does it and just because nobody else seems to think anything about it doesn't mean that's what a Christian should be doing. So set some standards in your life. Say, this will help to show people godliness. Work with the Lord on godliness. Because God has already said that we're to be conformed to the image of His Son back there in Romans chapter 8. So are we being conformed to the image of Christ? Confess your sins, because he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we repent. You know, you can be that living memorial when you delight in the Lord. I told the teens this morning that their pastor loved them and that there was an older guy also talking to them, not just as pastor, but an older guy who's gone through life, had some successes, had some failures. So I've kind of learned. We call it experience. And I said the number one thing that they need to have, the number one thing that you people need to have is a devotion to Jesus Christ. Because when you have a devotion to Christ, all the other things of life are going to begin to fall into right place and right proper priority when you're devoted to Christ. But when we start sliding off to the side and we start getting the detour going this way, we're no longer devoted to Christ. We begin to find problems in life. So work with the Lord on godliness. Confess your sins. Delight yourself in the Lord. Get even more familiar with the Bible. Don't render evil for evil. You know, this is talking about a living memorial. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in everything. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace shall sanctify you completely. Because faithful is he that calls you, who will also do it. See, I just gave you 1 Thessalonians 5:15 through 24. But then the Apostle Paul also said, and I'm going to read these verses in closing, Philippians chapter 4. He said in verse 6, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. This is how you continue to build and maintain that living memorial. In verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Because when we think on those things, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And since I know that my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. A living memorial. This is the kind of life that will not be fighting against God and God's will and God's working in my life. When we're convicted of sin, we'll say, oh, Lord, I need to get that taken care of right away. Instead of being convicted and say, oh, yeah, I'll have to do that someday. No, do it right now. Do it this morning. This kind of life will be building a memorial unto the one who has saved our souls and waits to bring us to glory. May God bless you as you seek to be that living memorial.